We always make it a point here on the hot seat every week to check in with a member of the official opposition, NDP, and right now, someone who's been on the hot seat. This is the fourth time, Darren Billis, who's the MLA for Edmonton, Beverly, Clairview, and also the opposition critic for Jobs, Economy, and Innovation. Welcome back. Great to have you on again.
Thanks, Kenny. Happy to be here.
All right. So, obviously, we see that you're now, you're in that position now of Jobs, Economy, and Innovation. Seems like some things are starting to happen there, but was watching Question Period this week, and it seems like you're wondering, like, if the minister Schweitzer could even show you some proof of, like, okay, well, if we're doing so great, show us.
Yeah, you know, we've got some questions around, especially this week. The government came and asked through an emergency budget for money to get the government through to March 31st. It's called Supplementary Supply. This is their second supply bill. But what's interesting, Kenny, is in that was an ask for $62 million for what they're calling the Jobs Now program. Here's the problem. The program is not built. They couldn't answer which employers, which companies would receive the funding, how would it flow to employees, what's the criteria. There is no program. And our questions were, how can you possibly spend or deploy $62 million in what's now 8 business days left? And they couldn't answer that. They said, you know, we're going to be announcing a program soon. Well, soon, okay, great that there'll be a program soon, but then it's impossible to spend it. And the catch is the $62 million has to be spent by March 31st. There is no extension that can be granted. And so I appreciate the fact that they're asking the federal government to extend the federal government's portion. But Albertans should be asking, hey, Kenny government, you've had a year to build this program. The federal government has put a significant amount, hundreds of millions, into a pot a year ago for a jobs program that they still haven't built and stood up. And so they're going to ask the federal government for an extension, which I'm sure the feds will say yes. But the question is, Albertans need that support now. They're hurting. Why did this government drag its feet for the past year, and they still haven't built a program?
Yeah, fair enough. And I guess in saying that, though, is that, like, and this is, like, kind of, I guess, kind of similar to this use of the UCP government, in that do you think of the case, like, we can use a few examples of this, like the money that was left up for the emergency top-ups, agri-stability, the case you just mentioned here, are cases where there is federal money on the table, but the UCP government doesn't seem overly interested in taking it. Do you believe it's a case where there's too many conditions attached, or do you believe that maybe it's a case of UCP grandstanding against the federal government?
Well, you know, great question, Kenny. And I think, you know, when we look at all the other provinces that have accessed the money and they haven't had a difficult time, I doubt it's too many conditions. I mean, the feds also understand that provinces need to deploy this money and they need to deploy it quickly. So, you know, if there are too many conditions, I don't think you would see other provinces spend the money the way they have, the way that they've been able to get money out the door. And so it really does beg the question of, you know, is this another example or a set of examples, because there's 4 or 5 programs that they've left federal dollars on the table, of Mr. Kenny and this UCP government grandstanding against the Trudeau government, you know, instead of taking federal dollars and helping the people of this province. And if that's the case, I mean, you know, disingenuous is not even an accurate description of it. I mean, it's quite despicable if they are intentionally leaving federal dollars off the table to be able to attack the Trudeau government. You know, I mean, this is about Albertans' lives and being able to afford to pay their bills, to keep their businesses open. I mean, this is about, you know, our future, but at a time when Albertans are hurting the most, this is not the time to be playing politics. This is the time to be delivering programs and supporting Albertans.
Yeah, and getting people back to work, no doubt. Also, I guess one of the things that I saw in the budget that was, I guess, kind of helpful, and it's usually the I like to call it the ultimate kickstart, and that is infrastructure spending. And quite a bit of it's happening, it seems like, in the budget. Some of it up here, two schools, so I know people up here are happy about that. But I guess the thing about the infrastructure projects is that if you announce them on Tuesday, they don't get started on Wednesday. So once again, did you find anything, at least in the budget, like immediate relief that you were just kind of referring to that Albertans need right now?
Well, you know, unfortunately, this budget was very, very short on details as far as having an actual plan to get Albertans back to work and a job strategy. Again, their Jobs Now program, you know what, at best, they could call it a jobs maybe later. I mean, there isn't a program, right? They've announced a title with nothing behind it, except dollars that nobody knows where or how they're going to go out the door. You know, their infrastructure program, I mean, you're absolutely right, Kenny. When we were government, I mean, I was quite involved with the Ministry of Infrastructure, and know that there was a frustration on our side when, you know, 9 months into a budget, there were still sums of money that hadn't moved. You know, we had to get after the department to say, what's going on here? How come we're not getting these dollars out the door? I mean, let's invest in projects. Let's get people back to work. Let's spur economic activity, especially in communities, in rural and remote communities. I mean, you know, that injection of dollars means that you've got the workers spending in local restaurants and cafes and you know, helping the local microeconomies. And so we know that it takes time. I mean, you know, the last comment I'll make about this Alberta Jobs Now or Alberta Jobs Maybe later is, you know, Mr. Schweitzer announced a third program to help businesses, which we can talk about in a minute, but it totals $10,000, which most businesses I've talked to have said that won't even cover 1 month of bills. But when the program was announced, you know, the minister had said it's going to take us 6 weeks to stand up this program. When I asked him in question period, the application processing time, he said it's one of the fastest that we've ever been able to put together, and that's 10 days, 10 business days. So, again, when I asked about the Alberta Jobs Now program, there's now 8 business days left. It is, by the government's own estimation, impossible to have a program stood up in 8 days and deployed. This, you know, we've got record unemployment in our province. We've got highest unemployment in our two largest cities. You know, and we just need to look at this government's track record. I mean, listen, Kenny, we know that the pandemic has caused some significant hardship for every Albertan across the province. But we also have to look at the facts. And the facts are that in 2019, under the Kenny government, pre-pandemic, right, Alberta lost 50,000 jobs. 50,000 jobs. And that was after they had announced their accelerated corporate tax reduction. You know, instead we saw companies like Husky and others take their savings from the reduction in taxes and go invest it in other provinces and in the U.S. And so basically you had Alberta subsidizing jobs in Newfoundland. Now that's great for Newfoundland, but that's awful for Alberta. And so we've been calling on this government to actually put forward a real jobs plan with a strategy, with metrics and targets, which they've yet been able to do.
Yeah, fair enough. And I know one thing, Darren, we've talked about this a few times, and that is rural connectivity. And, you know, from my conversations with Minister Schweitzer, he sounds like he and Service Alberta are very much on board with this, and actually had referenced the Shaw-Rogers merger as possibly something that could lead to more internet in these rural and remote areas. So, you know, even people in the smallest of areas could take part in this world economy. And obviously, he says that could be in the right direction. I'd like to hear your opinion on it, and if you think that this could actually help in terms of getting more fiber up to some of the remote areas.
Yeah, to be honest, Kenny, I'm very skeptical that the Shaw-Rogers merger will actually accelerate the connectivity and availability of internet in rural remote communities. it's going to require government support. There's no two ways about it. Because if it was left only to the private sector, then why wasn't it already done? You know, the reality is there are many parts of the province that have no internet connection, and many, many other parts that have a very, very poor internet servicing. Now, when we talk about the importance of rural connectivity, I mean, this is where maybe this is the point that that both sides of the House agree on, how critical it is for rural, remote Alberta, how critical it is for jobs, for businesses, for our post-secondary students that want to study, you know. And we've been hosting a series of community consultations around the province. I just had another one last night on technology and artificial intelligence, and I can tell you, Kenny, that rural internet, high-speed rural internet, came up again, and I couldn't agree more that we've got some brilliant, brilliant Albertans located in some rural, remote parts of the province. If they had access to internet, that means good paying jobs. It means some really talented people will be able to put their talents to use. So we know it's critical. But what I will say on this merger is that I think the government is completely overestimating the impact, the positive impact of this merger. And I'll tell you why, Kenny. I have never seen a merger that resulted in creation of jobs. I've seen many, many mergers in the private sector that almost always result in job losses, where there's duplication of jobs, and when two companies come together, they need to cut down on positions. We have a great example of this. Sadly, just this week, the Cenovus Husky merger announced another round of 1,000 layoffs.
Right.
So 2,000 jobs have been lost. When Cenovus and Husky announced their merger, the premier and his cabinet applauded how great this would be for Alberta's oil sands. Well, we've now seen 2,000 jobs lost. So I'm skeptical that this merger between Shaw and Rogers is going to result in the creation of new jobs. I think if we want to, if we're serious about internet connectivity and access to high-speed internet in rural, remote Alberta, it's going to take significant government intervention. I can tell you, Kenny, that we've been hosting community consultations on this. If your listeners visit albertasfuture.ca, we have proposals, including a proposal on internet and how we can get internet using a combination of fiber and satellites to ensure that Albertans, all Albertans, have access to high-speed internet.
Yeah, that's fantastic, and I know that's something big for people up here, and in terms of big media mergers, maybe I'm not the one that should be saying anything about that, but fair enough. Now, of course, Darren, whenever we have somebody on the hot seat, we always like to get into the lighter side of life, and sounds like, as we were mentioning before off the air, young Olive, no longer baby, but toddler Olive, is growing up, isn't she?
She is. She's growing. She's chatty. Clearly, she gets that from her father. A very, very happy, happy little girl. She's just about to start walking completely independently. She walks several steps and then realizes she's walking and kind of plops down. But no, she's doing really well. And I got to tell you, Kenny, you know, with spring weather finally coming and here, I think that's a cause for a little bit of hope and optimism. Both with vaccines starting to roll out, we can see the light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to the pandemic. But for us, it also means more time in the backyard with baby Olive and the family. So, you know, whenever we have those moments and we aren't working, then that's something that we love to do.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy them and treasure them when you can. Darren, thank you so much for checking in with us today.
Thanks, Kenny. Have a great day.
This is Darren Billis. He is the NDP critic for Jobs, Economy, and Innovation, also the MLA for Edmonton, Beverly, Clareview, and this is The Hot Seat.